Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Satan is Trying to Kill the Intercessors, Part 1. I don't know how many parts this series is going to have. I thought it was just going to be two, but I'm not so sure now because I've got the recorded stories of four of my closest friends of how Satan attacked them for interceding, and I want y'all to hear all those. I don't know if any of those are going to play in this episode. So if we're going to talk about interceding, if we're going to talk about intercession, we need to talk about what intercession is. But let's start before that. Years ago, I realized the Lord had given me a gift. I don't know what this gift is called, but I recognize trends in the body of Christ. I see trends of things happening with the body of Christ. And I saw one recently that I wanted to make you aware of. And the trend I'm seeing is that Satan is literally trying to kill off intercessors. He's always tried to stop intercessors from praying, and he has always assigned attacks against them, multiple attacks usually. But he is literally trying to kill them off now. So intercessors must be doing some serious damage to his domain, y'all. So that's the good news. So today we're going to talk about intercession, and I'm going to tell you some of the attacks he has sent against me, and then you are going to hear from some of my other closest friends over these however many episodes. I don't want to make this podcast so long it bores you. But I will also be sharing with you on one of the episodes a dream vision that a good friend of mine kindly shared so I could get it out to you that shows exactly what intercession looks like, probably this episode for that. It is powerful, and it is powerfully simple. It made him cry, and it made me cry when I read it. I have no idea if it'll make you cry, but you need to hear it. I want y'all to understand clearly what intercession is all about and what it can accomplish. So let's start with his dream vision because it's really good. My friend, we'll call him Michael. I've changed his name because he desires to remain anonymous. He doesn't want any attention for this. Here's his story in his words. About 2 years ago, a woman I knew texted me one afternoon on my day off and said there was something really serious going on with her son, and would I please immediately pray? I already knew she had been through some really horrible trials over the past few months and that things kept coming at her, so I felt a real sense of urgency to pray. Her son lives several states away and is in his early 20s. I felt I should go into my closet this time, and so I did. First praying that God would forgive my sins so my prayer would be heard, I started praying for her son, and I want to mention this right now. Y'all, I have never thought to ask God for forgiveness of any sins before I started interceding. We need to all do that. Almost immediately, it was like a screen appeared in front of me, and I saw a young man standing on the edge of what looked like those volcanic fire pits. Other than the light from that, it was really dark. But there was orange flame and lava spewing up, and I could see him clearly from the light that created. He seemed to be moving closer to the pit, and all I could do was yell, "Pull him back, pull him back." And that was it. No sooner than I had that experience, another screen came up, and I saw his mother. She was standing up on something that looked like a causeway made of rocks. The sky was gray and orange like an apocalyptic movie, the best I can describe, and there were mountains in the background, very gray, rocky, and barren. She was up there alone, and what appeared to be white lines were moving across the sky towards her, one after another. They just kept coming. At this time, I felt this amazing, overwhelming feeling of love. It was the most powerful thing I've ever felt, and I instantly knew two things. First, this was God's love for her. Second, that I was only feeling what I was capable of feeling with the limitations of the human body and mind. It was incredible. I was down below and felt I had a decision to make whether to stay down there and pray or go up where she was. I chose to go up where she was, and when I got there, I moved in front of her so that I would take the hit from these things first instead of her. And I yelled out, please make this stop. She's had enough. Right away, I've heard, you've said enough. I am pleased. Instantly, I was back on the floor of my closet, totally wiped out. I think I sat there for an hour before getting up and quite honestly couldn't do much more than stare into space for the rest of the day. I had no interest in anything around me. For the next couple of days, I was in a daze. It turns out that her son had lost a friend to a fentanyl overdose a couple of months before that, and he was having a hard time handling it. He took some of that stuff himself, and as we were praying, apparently people were trying to get into his room and save him. He was a musician and does feel there is a calling on his life to use this for the Lord, but for right now, he's still making secular music. The feeling I had at the time was that free will is a big deal for him as far as the choices he makes, perhaps much more serious than for others. As for his mother, things really started to sort out and settle down for her after that. I told her all the above at the time, but have pretty much kept this to myself since. The thought came to me later in a quiet time that the love I felt that day was not only for her, but it's the same for everyone, myself included, and that I should remember that nothing happens to me outside of his love. Another thought that came to me, and he said, I'm unsure if this was inspired or just coming from myself, is that even those who reject God in life still get to feel that love for a moment when they die. That the eternal separation from God in his love, knowing what they traded away for what they are now getting, is part of the eternal torment. I think he's probably right about that, by the way. Within a couple of months, I had two large squamous cell cancers on my face and forehead, as well as several smaller ones under the skin that had to be removed. A few months after that, I ended up in the emergency room with crazy high blood pressure that is now under control. While all this was going on, my car ended up having to be replaced. The Lord provided for all these things to be paid without debt. Thank you, Lord. I praise him. Y'all, please lift up a prayer of protection from satanic retaliation attacks for my friend. He was courageous enough to share his vision, even knowing he could take another attack for it. You know the devil's not going to take that laying down. So, Lord, I ask you to protect him, put a shield of protection around him, and that all of those attacks, any that Satan sends, bounce right back on the devil in Jesus' mighty name. Attacks on believers have increased in intensity, seriously increased. We all know that they are increased, but I'm seeing a more intense branch of the trend that seems to be aimed specifically at those people who are praying for lost souls. I don't remember the title of the word, but sometime back the Lord gave us a word about how important interceding for the lost is to him. I saved part of that word as a daily task, so I get an email reminding me each day to pray for them. I read it and then, okay, that just reminds me to intercede. And here's part of the word I saved. There is a day coming soon when many of them will be taken in their sin, never to know me. Pray for these lost souls, for it is my desire they would know me. It is not my desire they would perish, but come to the knowledge of the truth and enjoy everlasting life. Your world is filled with many distractions and much entertainment. The enemy has set up many rivals for your time with me. He has set many deceptions to lure away the unsuspecting and the unsaved. My heart grieves for the misery in their future. I desire my children would intercede for these lost souls and witness to those around you so I may save them. Now, years ago, I want to say it was 2018, the Lord showed me the dreadful pit where the lost souls go when they died. It had a very profound effect on me. Let me tell you what I saw. I want you to understand the value of your intercession for each soul. Every prayer you pray for a lost soul is so important. And let's not forget that our prayers are so precious to the Lord that he saves them in bowls and vials in heaven. If you read Revelation 5:8 and Psalm 141:2, you'll see that. Okay. Let's don't forget Revelation 12:12. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'm not going to read you every verse in the Bible on intercession, but just these ones that we're talking about, it's very clear we are instructed to intercede. Is it possible this is the time the devil has come down to us in his wrath? There certainly is enough evil to make it feel that way, isn't there? I really believe Satan is trying to kill the intercessors. I'm not kidding y'all. And I don't say this to frighten you. I do not want you to stop interceding for lost souls. We're going to explain all this. Do not even let Satan suggest that to you. Cast down those thoughts in Jesus' name. There is absolutely no more important kingdom work we can be about than the business of souls. We have to keep praying for them. What if Satan had scared my mom and sisters and whoever else off from praying for me? There would have been no JPH, no Wilderness Companion, no all these years of prophetic messages shared. Every soul is of major importance to the Lord and to these end times. We don't know what each person is called to do, but we need to get them into the kingdom so they can do it. Maybe the sooner they step into their roles, the sooner we get to go home to ours, to our rewards in heaven. But it's not about us. Those souls will go into eternal torment if they are not saved before they die. And remember, too, the Lord said on the night of the attacks, at least here in America, I don't know about any place else, many souls will go to that terrible place. Many souls. Okay, it was in 2018 the Lord showed me the vision that I call the dreadful pit vision, where they're sent. For anyone who has not heard it, I'm going to read it again. And also, because we all need to be reminded often of the fate of these souls if we do not do as the Lord asks and intercede for at least a few minutes each day. It doesn't take long. Do one prayer. This was May 9th, 2018, the dreadful pit. I was in worship, and I just had another vision before this one. And then I returned to worship because I always stop and write the visions down because I'll forget them. And then this vision came. A vision opened, and I was holding on to his robe. I looked below me, and there was this cavernous, dark pit below me. My first thought was, am I in sin? Am I going to get sent to hell? And my second thought was, please don't let me go. So this pit was, I don't even know how far across it was. I don't think you could even measure it. You could only see inside the rim, and then there was just darkness. It looked like some bottomless hole somewhere. And when I said, please don't let me go, I looked and he was holding on to me so I would not drop into it. And I said, thank goodness. After a minute or so looking at that pit and wondering what was going on, I saw a person fall into it and then another one. They were not real fast, but grief just hit me because I just thought, oh no, that's where the lost go. And I knew that there was no way out from there. And I felt instinctively that for those going into the pit, what awaits them at the bottom would be the equivalent of being thrown into a pit of giant vipers. So I saw a rebellious teenager. I saw in my spirit that he was rebellious. And I just thought, oh Lord, he's just a teen. He's just a kid. And I just started praying for him. And then I started praying in the spirit. And then I started warring for him in tongues. And I was thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it. And I prayed really hard for that young man. I don't know who he was. He had kind of funny hair, kind of funny brown hair. And I prayed really, really hard for him. And I did not say this when I made the video, but I was hoping maybe his spirit could go back to his body and he would get another chance to accept Jesus. And then I saw a number of people in front of me as the vision continued. And then I remembered that my mother was an intercessor, a very strong one. She prayed all the time. And she told me in her latter years that when she would pray, a lot of times God would just wake her up in the night and he would show her a face of somebody she didn't even know. And she would just get after it and start praying for them. And then he would bring another one and another one. And I thought, okay, that's what this is. He's showing me these people and that's where they're going to go and that's where they're going. And I'm supposed to pray so they won't go there. So I'll tell y'all what I saw. I saw the teen. He had on some kind of a jacket. He had brown hair. It seemed like his hair was kind of spiky looking or something. And it seems like he had some piercings on his face. I prayed for him to get pulled back out. Some people do visit hell and get pulled back out. And I don't think it's wrong for us to pray for that because it's not ever God's will for anybody to perish. So we can pray that. Because there's a lot of people in the world that have absolutely not one single Christian praying for them. You know, and a lot of these kids that are out in the streets and stuff, they don't have any family. Either their family died or their family gave them up or, you know, whatever happened and they don't have anyone. Then I saw a teenage boy who was in a coma and he was very near death. And I don't remember what he looked like, but he had kind of brownish hair. It could have been blonde hair that was wet or oily. He was in a coma and I knew in the spirit that they would eventually unplug him and he would die. So in the spirit, I laid hands on him and started to pray for him and rebuke whatever was against him and command that he would live and not die, and that he would live to tell the glory of the Lord, and he would live to share the glory of the Lord. And another thing, what I should have prayed, I don't know if I knew to do this then, I should have remitted their sins when I prayed for them. But everybody I prayed for in this intercession vision, I prayed that they would live and tell the works of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and all of that. In other words, they would come back and evangelize and witness. So then I was shown a little girl, and this one really got to me. She had real long hair that was like in between medium brown and an auburnish color. She looked around eight or so. She was extremely ill. I knew she was dying and that she was about to pass. And I did the same thing for her. I laid hands on her in the spirit, and I warred hard for her. I don't know who she is or where she is, but it grieved me. She reminded me a little bit of my granddaughter, and I declared that she would live and not die, and she would live to declare the works of the Lord. Then I saw an older lady with hair that was bleached, kind of a goldish color, and she was falling into the pit. And I still remember seeing her, and I felt great grief, like her death was really going to cause a lot of pain and was really going to mess up a family. And though I did not see what any of these people were dying from, I prayed for her to be pulled back out and for her to declare the glory of the Lord. Then I saw a gray or silver-haired woman whose spirit had left her. It was already out of her body, so I knew she was physically dead. And he had me call her spirit back and declare, warring in tongues, that she was going to declare the glory and the works of the Lord. And every time when I was praying for these people, every time I closed my eyes, I saw that pit again. It was like he was reminding me, if you don't intercede, this is where these people are going to end up. And I said, Lord, what can we do? I had read somewhere that there is about 150,000 people that pass all over the world in a normal day. That's 6,250 in an hour, over 100 a minute. Praise Jesus, I was not shown all of the people going into the pit at that moment. I'm not sure I could have endured that. I said, Lord, what can we do? Please tell me what we can do. And he impressed me to tell all of you to ask for one lost person a day to pray for, just one, and that he will give you a thought or an impression of a person, or he might show you they're a man or a woman or a child or something about their life, or you might see what they look like, and he wants you to pray all during that day, whenever you think of it, just lift them up and pray, Lord, please bless that person, please save them, please don't let them die until they're saved. And maybe, you know, you can pray for their families too. And he said, if we will do that, he will save these people that we see. I also prayed for a homeless man with dark hair and a beard. He was the last person I prayed for. He was somewhere between his 40s and 60s. I'm not good at guessing men's ages. And, you know, the Lord had somebody pray us in. What if we were one of those people out there walking around lost and nobody prayed? What if the Lord asked two or three people to pray and they said, oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'll do it later. And then they don't and you go into the pit. We as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters of the Most High, he is the King, and he is asking you to do this one little thing so somebody can be saved today. This is what's closest to his heart. Years ago, in 2018, the Lord gave me a vision about intercession. To intercede means to intervene, in this case by praying, to stand in the gap on behalf of another person. And here's what I saw. I want to say it was early in 2018. I was praying for Nicole's husband, Kevin, for something she had told me he needed prayer for. I don't remember what it was. The vision opened, and I saw the Lord on the throne. And I was some distance back petitioning him out loud for Kevin. Behind me, I saw Kevin, and I've met Kevin. He's really just, he's just a very friendly, charming person. But behind me, I saw Kevin, and then I saw something miraculous. Whenever I interceded for him, I saw that he was protected from everything that was trying to attack him. I would pray, and this protective barrier was all around him, so all the demons had to leave him alone. They had to just sit on the sidelines and watch because they couldn't touch him. It is important to note that those protective shields do not stay up indefinitely, so you have to keep praying every single day. But that is how important and how powerful intercessory prayer really is. The Lord had showed me another time that the larger the group we pray for, the weaker each prayer is. Think of it as diluting. If you put juice concentrate in a glass and you add water, the juice becomes more diluted. The more water, the weaker the juice. The more people you're praying for, the weaker the prayer because it has to spread out over all those people. I was only praying for one person, not for a group, so the weak the power that I was sent was all concentrated on just him. It was not weakened by being spread out over many people. The most powerful prayers are when you pray focused prayers for just one person at a time. Any prayer helps, but the ones that are concentrated help the most. Okay, on Sunday, March 3rd, this year, 2024, I had just been walking my dogs and praying for lost souls. I was taking the dogs back inside the house when Satan used the high winds to grab a very heavy door. I don't know if it was solid wood or steel, but it was heavy, and slam it into me as hard as he could. It hit me just below my right elbow, and the pain was so intense it stunned me for a minute. As I tried to gather my bearings and get on inside, I praise God it did not hit my two little dogs. It would have killed them. And I praised him all day. It did not hit me in the head as it slammed so hard. It would have given me a concussion or possibly broken my neck. I am not even kidding you. Satan is dead serious about stopping our prayers for the lost. This is a clear indication Satan knows God is answering our prayers to save the lost. So that's the good news. My response to Satan's attacks to work I'm doing is always to increase the work. We don't have time to take his attacks lying down. So the more he attacks me, the more I'm going to pray for lost souls. That's the way that works. I also have narrowly avoided serious car accidents several times over the past 2 months. When I drive, I constantly pray, and I constantly pray for the lost. I almost never turn on music. I prefer talking to the Lord to losing myself in a song. As I am driving, in between talking to him, I'm interceding for people I see in case they're lost. In the places I drive through, at fast food places, businesses I'm in, people walking along the road, anyone I see or think of. And this one day, I nearly had a very serious accident. I topped a hill, and right there, two or three of somebody's big giant trash cans were out in the road, and there was traffic coming on the other side, a lot of traffic. So I couldn't dodge it. You know, there's like several cars together. And I couldn't swerve over there. There was no place to go. And somebody had not pulled their trash cans in, and they had kind of drifted out into the road. And I saw them just in time to hit the brakes and find a way around them. I had to kind of wait for the traffic to go by. But having so many near misses when I'm such a careful driver alerted me that something else is at work here. And I think this is what it is. Because when I say I'm a careful driver, I mean really careful. Insurance companies love me. I have not even had a speeding ticket in nearly 20 years. And I've not had any other tickets either. I almost never speed. And when I do, it's usually by accident when I'm trying to get somewhere. So I was concerned that alerting you all to this trend would make you not want to intercede for the lost anymore. So I was talking to the Lord about all this yesterday. And the devil trying to kill all of us, you're trying to pray for the rest of the souls in so we can go home. And I had just read some emails from intercessors, even in other countries, who said, yeah, me too. Here's what happened. And I said, Lord, the devil really is trying to kill us. And he said, but I did not let him. And I started laughing. And I said, of course he didn't let him. The Lord has to intercede for the lost. And some of us do. Does the devil really think God's going to let him? He's just going to stand by while he takes us out where we can't pray anymore? Yeah, no. So, yeah. Are the ones with the authority, y'all. We are the ones holding all the winning cards. We don't need to fear anything that defeated foe could throw at us. I'm just saying. If you really want to do something to make the Lord smile, intercede for even 5 minutes. Really intercede with all your heart for someone that's lost. Or just say, Lord, the person who's in the worst state of addiction in my county, or the person that works at 7-Eleven, or, you know, the person that works at, you know, Country Grocery down the road, you know, whatever. Just pick one. It doesn't matter. The lost souls in your local hospital will do too. There are souls all over the world, including in your city, in your region, in your area of influence, who have no one to pray for them to be saved. And they are every day on their way to hell until they get saved. And some who are so deep in sin, everyone who loves them have given up on them and stopped praying. Satan loves when we give up on getting somebody saved. Did you know that? Because then all he has to do is keep tempting them. If they're on drugs, he'll just tempt them until they OD, or they get shot in a drug deal, or they become even more self-destructive and they die, and then he gets their soul. They never know Jesus. If you really want favor with God, become an intercessor for him. If you even give him 5 minutes a day of focused intercession, you're going to have his ear. Somebody prayed for us, y'all, when we were out in the world living in sin. And we need to pay it forward and pray for all the ones still out there before they run out of time. That is not that much to do for him. The rewards are great, but it's more than that. Is this not the very least we can do for the King of Kings who gave it all for us? He lived a sinless life and then died a death of agony because he loved us so much and wanted us to live with him forever in heaven. And he died for them too, but they don't know that. Pray for the lost throughout each day, wherever I am. I'll pray for the lost on the street, the lost in that town or the neighborhood. I'll pray for the lost of certain groups or gangs here or there or whatever. Or all the people that work at such and such place, you know. Just pick an area. It doesn't matter. And I usually ask the Lord to save the hardest-hearted ones first and turn them to evangelize the others. Group. Are we really so lazy and so uncaring that we cannot pray a few of these prayers every day for the Lord? Because we sure seem to have plenty of time to pray, bless me, help me, Lord, bless me. We can pray for us, Lord, I need a promotion. Lord, I want this, I want that. I need a financial increase. We have plenty of time to pray for that, don't we? As for any of you that do not know this, relationships are a two-way street. At least the real ones are. You are not supposed to just take from the Lord's very generous hand. You are supposed to give back to him too. You are supposed to be blessed, but also to be a blessing, and that includes to him. Here's how you can do that. And praying for the lost don't even cost you anything. What an easy, simple way to bring a smile to his face and joy to his heart today. We are going to continue talking about intercession next week and about the attacks that have happened to some of my very close friends because of interceding for the lost. I can't put it all in this one podcast because it'd just be too long. So y'all don't miss the next episodes because they're going to be good. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. I hope this has inspired you to a closer walk with Christ. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., P.O. Box 854, Altus, Oklahoma, that's A-L-T-U-S, Oklahoma 73522, or by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.